right? So because we treasure the Word of God, as we stand and we read this scripture, it's in preparation to receive today's message from the Lord. And this is verse 19, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Praise the name of the Lord. He is so good all the time. All right. And in verse 19, hallelujah. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. This is speaking of Abraham. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for opening up our hearts to receive the powerful, incorruptible word of God. Lord, it's not important what I say. It's important what you speak to your people. And so this morning, God, I ask that the openness of your people and their hearts, that our minds are illuminated. God, that you would lead and guide me as I speak. Teach me as I teach. God, that you would be glorified and we would grow up into everything that you want us to be as a believer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so excited. So last week we began talking to you about having faith like a wheelbarrow, right? Mm-hmm. And you remember the story of the tightrope walker who went across Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow, and he even did it blindfolded. And when he asked the crowd, "Do you believe I can do this?" after he proved several times he could do it, the crowd said, "Yes, we believe." Now that's a lot like we are sometimes when it comes to God's word. Yeah, God, we believe it. But then he turned with his wheelbarrow to the man on the front row, and he said, "Would you like to get in and go across with me?" And the man said, "No, thank you." And I think sometimes when it comes to faith, we're a little bit like that. That we hear about the promises of God. We hear about God's goodness, God's grace, God doing some amazing things. And we say, yeah, I believe. And then we turn around and we go, but if it requires something of me, I don't know if I want to participate. Because it goes back to relationship. The whole point of Abraham and his journey of faith and what made him a great person of faith is he had an unmatched relationship with God. That was the foundational point of his faith being strong. How many in here would say, yeah, I want strong faith? Anybody in here?
Yeah.
You with me? You want strong faith?
Yes.
I want strong faith, right? Wouldn't you like to have faith to move mountains? Right? Jesus said it doesn't take very much. Doesn't take very much, does it? But yet, how do we gain great faith? Well, it starts with a vibrant relationship. It can't just happen when you go to church. It can't just happen. It's got to happen, as I said last week, when Monday comes, when Tuesday comes, when, like this week, I actually had somebody look me right in the eye, yelling three times and told me I was lying.
Poor Pastor.
And I was offended. Now, I shouldn't be, because didn't Jesus say, rejoice when they say all manner of evil against you falsely? I should have been more rejoicing. I got to be honest with you. My flesh wanted to just... Yes. In fact, what I said was, you've insulted my character. And I walked away. Because I would have said something else that I would have regretted and had to ask God for forgiveness later. So I don't I don't curse at people, but I would have maybe said some unkind things, and that wouldn't have been nice. And so I just wanted to, so I just prayed for her and just moved on. But why do I bring that up? Because great faith, you can't allow yourself to get into the flesh too much, into your own thinking too much. You've got to learn to listen to your heart. Learn to listen to your heart. So last week, we gave you some tips, if you will, from Abraham's life. I gave you three. I'm going to just kind of repeat them rather quickly, and then we'll move on to a couple more that I believe you can glean from his life, how you can have stronger faith, greater faith. Not so that you can point the spotlight on you, but that we could point the spotlight on Jesus, right? That's the thing that we need to do, is point the spotlight on him. It's not about us. It is about him all the time, all the time. So last week, one of our points that I gave you was faith begins with a relationship with a living God. And we see that in Genesis chapter 15 with God speaking to Abram. At the time, he called him Abram. It was later on he changed his name. But God just picked out Abram because Abram was open. He was open, and he began to develop this relationship. We see this relationship over many chapters in the book of Genesis. We see some ups and downs where he tries to make things happen. I mentioned that to you last week, that sometimes God will maybe give you an inkling of what you're supposed to do. And it's frustrating because you want to step out and just, you want to just do it like now. We want microwave answers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes years for God to develop us and to develop the relationship with us. And I told you that my mentor at the time, I told him, I said, listen, I feel like I'm called of God to be in the ministry. And I was a teenager. And I said, why doesn't he just tell me everything now what I'm going to do? And his answer to me was full of wisdom. He said, you would probably try to help him and mess it up. So sometimes that's what we do. And we see in the life of Abraham, that's kind of what he did. Actually, him and Sarah, you know, because God had promised him a son. And she's getting impatient. He's getting impatient. She says, oh, I know. I have a good idea. Why don't you just sleep with my servant and have a child? Well, we know what happened. They had a child. And that child grew up and also became a leader of nations. That's where we get a lot of the Arab world today. So what we see is God will let you try to help him, but thank God for his mercy. Aren't you glad for his grace today? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad for his grace and mercy. Amen. Amen. So it's a deep relationship. It's a very deep relationship that Abraham developed. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, in the New Testament, we see that God commends Abraham in the Hall of Faith. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That takes great faith. That goes back to, do we have faith like a wheelbarrow? Will we get in God's wheelbarrow and trust him? John 15:16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So when we put the context of our relationship with God, it is vital to have that vibrant relationship. The second thing that starts to allude in what we just read is that faith requires obedience without a full understanding of what the plan is. Faith requires obedience without a full understanding. That's where our human fleshly mindset, instead of listening to your heart, that's what happens, is that our mind starts to engage, tries to figure it all out. We want to fix it. We want to have the fail-safe. We want to, well, I could go do this, I could go do this, and I could fix it this way and fix it that way. We have a little plaque in our house, and it says, pray first. I think we need to say, pray first before we think. And I'm not saying I got that down yet. I mean, the problem comes in the mail, the problem comes in the email, right? What's our first reaction? I'm thinking. That will usually lead to anxiety and sometimes depression. Instead of thinking, you pray first. You pray first. Even this morning, we walked into the building today. There was no water. Now, when you are having public assembly in Westchester County, you have to have bathrooms and water functioning. Thank God our building's coming in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But, I mean, I should have just said, let's pray. I didn't. I'm just being honest. Is it okay?
Come on.
All right? I mean, I stepped into frustration. I stepped into, who can I call? I stepped into, well, we could do this. And then I started sharing with some of our leaders. And they're like, well, we could do this and we could do this. You know what? We should have said, let's pray. That's what we should have done. That's not what we did. We were still trying to figure it out. Am I right, Reverend?
Yes.
We're still trying to figure it out. Like,
I was on the phone with
you. Yeah. Pastor Christine's on the phone with me. We're like, okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, Brother Adam, he's figuring out. Let's go get 4 gallons of water. I don't know what we do with it, but okay. Right? I mean, it's kind of like when somebody, you know, on all the TV movies, when a lady's getting ready to have a baby, it's like, I'll go boil water. Why? I don't know what we're doing right now. You know, it's like, it's the classic line that when a lady, you know, is, you know, emergency giving birth to a baby, I'm going to go boil water. Okay. Oh, I still don't, are we having tea? I'm not sure what's going on there. But, so, anyway, I'm off track, aren't I? Yes. Oh, glory to God. All right. Okay. Faith requires obedience without full understanding. Go boil the water, Doc. All right. Here we go. It requires obedience without a full understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says this. Back to the words. Forget what Pastor Doug says. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Obedience to what he tells us to do. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, this is a passage where, you know, Peter obeyed without having the full picture. And you say, well, that's Peter. Well, I get it. That is Peter. You're right. But in Luke chapter 5, we see the story of when Jesus tells the men who were fishing to go ahead and let their nets down for a catch. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So in verse 4, Jesus had been speaking, and it says, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, and I love this phrase, at your word, I will let down the net. Did you catch that? At your word. That is obedience. Even when we struggle to see the big picture. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.
Lord.
So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Jesus' disciples spent a considerable amount of time having relationship with him. And yet there was still times that they doubted. There was still times that they struggled. But yet in this particular instance, we see an immediate obedience. I said this actually in the sermon on Gideon. I talked to you that God can handle your doubts. Mm-hmm. He can handle your questions. Mm. The key is stay connected to him. Mm-hmm. The enemy wants to peel you off and get you not talking to him anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants. He wants to get you isolated, alone, without any support. God, on the other hand, has designed us to be relational, to be in fellowship, in a community of faith that can uphold you and can strengthen you. That's how God's designed us, so that when we're in that space, that we can be encouraged to trust him. We can be encouraged to do the right thing. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we don't try to figure it all out. And that was point number two last week, was that faith requires obedience without a full understanding. The third is that faith trusts in God's promises. And Genesis chapter 15, let's go back to Genesis. Verses 4 through 6 tells us that Abraham believed God despite his age. He believed God despite his age. Now you think about how old he was. And God is basically speaking to him and telling him that, you know, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord. He accounted it to him for righteousness. That's pretty amazing. This is before Jesus went on the cross. We have God dealing with a sinful, fallen human being. Just like you and I, when we started out our journey of faith, before we accepted what Jesus did in our lives, we were fallen. The Bible tells us we were without hope in the world. We're lost. But thanks be to God, Jesus paid the price so that we can find our way to him. So faith trusts in the promise of God. Now, because we're jumping back and forth here, we're going to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, we started off with Romans chapter 4. But we're going to pick up verse 20. And I'm going to read it out of a different version just for clarity's sake. And it says this, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But instead, he grew strong in his faith, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. God is able to do what he promised for all of us, especially as New Testament believers. We read over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says this. I'll give you a minute to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. You know, I grew up in a moderately religious home. And I grew up in a church that taught, well, God says yes, God says no, and sometimes God says, wait a while. And I have to be honest with you, I always struggled with that. If God made a promise, then what's holding that promise back? And I struggled with that until I came across this verse. And I realized, wait a second, God doesn't say yes, no, maybe later. Parents do. Some of you got that. God doesn't say that. God says yes to his promises. If things he's already promised, he says yes to them. I'm not talking about you getting some revelation, you know, that you know you're supposed to go rob a bank and you're going to end up not getting in jail. That's weirdness. You ate too much pizza. You need to go back to your prayer time and go back to the Word. But when God gives you a promise, and that promise says that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. That's a promise that you can bank on. That if you trust in Christ as your Savior, you can bank on the fact that you will be saved. Point number four in this life of Abraham is faith. Sometimes we do stumble in our faith. And Abraham and Sarah doubted. They took matters into their own hand. We see this in Genesis chapter 16. But I want you to know God's promises still stood. Despite them messing up. Despite them helping God and putting their best laid at human intentions in place, God still went back to his promise. No, that's not who I'm talking about. I'm putting it in Pastor Doug's paraphrase here. Ishmael is not the promise that I've been talking about.
Right.
Now I'm gonna bless him. God said that. I'm gonna have him multiply. But that's not the promise that I gave you.
Wow.
So even with them messing up, God still went back and said and reiterated the promise. Now you can read the story of Abraham. It's quite long. Genesis 15, 16, 17. It goes on, starts the story of Isaac, and then we see the beginnings of Israel. But I want you to know that faith sometimes stumbles. Aren't you glad that the Word of God has an answer for that? Yes. 2 Timothy, especially for New Testament Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. So if you've ever been tempted to get frustrated with your own faith, get frustrated that mistakes that you've made, says this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Aren't you glad God doesn't change his mind? I'm so glad he doesn't change his mind. The Bible tells us he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I love what Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says. You can bank on this too. God completes what he starts in us. He completes what he starts in us. Go there if you would. This is too good. You've got to see this. You've got to see Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. You've got to see this. If you haven't seen it, if it's not underlined in your Bible, you should have it underlined. Hallelujah. Even in your electronic Bible, maybe have it highlighted. It'll help you. Trust me. It'll help you. All right. Did I have that verse right? No. I didn't.
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Being confident.
Yeah, there it is. Sorry. There it is. Being confident.
Yes.
Here we go. Yeah. Let this mind be in you, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is going to complete the work. He's going to do what he said do. All the promises of God are yes and amen. All of them. And when we understand and apply that, that's going to help you tomorrow. That's going to help you Tuesday. That's going to help you Wednesday. That's going to help you Thursday. That's going to help you Friday. That's going to help you Saturday. That's going to help you when you start beating yourself up because you missed it. That's what sin means. It means I missed it. How many of you missed it this week? Somewhere. You missed it, right? I mean, it could be something super small. We're not talking about huge stuff sometimes. If it is huge stuff, God can still handle it. Right? He can still handle it. If he could handle Abraham and Sarah messing up the plan that he had and still go back to the promise. Faith sometimes stumbles, but God is faithful. That's the point. Faith sometimes stumbles, but God, he is faithful. He's always faithful. Number five, faith is willing to sacrifice for God's plans. In other words, faith puts God first. Faith puts God first. Not our thinking first. Not our reasoning first, but puts God first. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Not, what are my friends telling me to do? Even godly friends sometimes will steer you wrong. I'm serious. They don't mean to. They're not being deceptive. You know, but even godly people will sometimes steer you wrong. Tell you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. Why do you need to pray first? Right? Because God will speak to you and you will have the right answer. Hallelujah. You know, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. We see this in Genesis chapter 22. In fact, why don't we go there? Genesis chapter 22. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
Okay, I hope you're getting something out of it because I'm being stirred up in my faith. I'm telling you that it's important to stay connected to our Heavenly Father when it comes to these things of faith. These things of faith. And we can learn some great things from Old Testament men of faith. All right, so God begins to deal with Abraham to offer his son. Verse 2 of Genesis chapter 22. God calls out to Abraham. And he answers. And he says, now take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Do you imagine? Can you imagine that? Even if you're not a parent, can you imagine that? That sounds horrible. I mentioned this last week. Our Western mindset doesn't really get this and doesn't understand this totally. But when you understand that God was not testing Abraham to see what Abraham was made of, he was showing Abraham what Abraham was made of. He was showing Abraham the strength of their relationship. God wasn't going to have him kill Isaac. But we get a glimpse into Abraham's trust, his wheelbarrow faith, when he says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, isn't it interesting how God is foreshadowing things in this? We're coming up on the Easter season, right? Coming up real soon, next week, right? Palm Sunday. Listen, he says this. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. the lad and I will go yonder and worship. I want you to see this, because this is fascinating. And we will come back to you. We, who did he leave? He left the two servants. He went with Isaac, his son, whom he is planning on obeying God. But we see that he already has the trust in God to say, we're both coming back. Do you see that? This is the kind of trust that I believe every one of us in this room can grow to. The kind of trust that says, God, I'm all yours, and whatever you want me to do, I will do. Whatever you want me to say, I will say. Notice what happens. So Abram took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isn't this like just, oh. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And when they came to the place of which God told him, Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son.
My God.
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I, or here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Hallelujah. So I want you to see the kind of faith, that wheelbarrow faith, that says, God, I trust you so much in this that I'm just all in. I'm all in. I'm not withholding anything. And I am so convinced that, especially in that verse, first part, when he told his servants, we're both coming back. That's a faith statement. That's a faith statement. We're both coming back. When you are operating in faith and you're trusting God, you need to open your mouth. You need to open your mouth and say what God is putting in your heart, what you're believing for. You need to speak it out loud with your mouth. You need to say what you're believing for. If you're believing for favor, I've got favor. You know, I've been known now at work. They ask me how I am. And one of the things that I say, and I'm talking worldly people, secular people, people that want nothing to do with God, when I say I'm blessed and I'm highly favored, they smile and they go, and I'm sure you are. Or they say, I like that. I really like that. I have even seen some non-believers start saying it. Isn't that amazing? Open your mouth and speak God's word. All right? Open your mouth and speak God's word. Abraham was convinced that God could do what he said that he would do. Faith is willing to sacrifice for God, knowing God will fulfill his promise. Hebrews chapter 11 says this, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Abraham reasoned. In other words, even though it says reason, it's not talking about his head. It's talking about that relationship that he had with God, that he reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of faith that you can have. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, hearing it over and over and over again. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You hear the word of God and you act on the word of God, and God will continue to give you more and more and more. Point number six, as we close this, is that Abraham's faith, real faith, strong faith, will leave a legacy. It will leave a legacy long after you are gone. The legacy of faith says it will impact generations to come after him. And if you'll notice in Abraham's life, he lived to be about 175 years old. And his legacy of faith spills over even to where God talks to Isaac directly. That's pretty amazing. So his faith went from generation to generation. And that's why we see in the body of Christ right now, we see something really interesting happening, especially here at churches in America, where youth and children's attendance of church has been continually going down for several decades. But what we're starting to see is that there was a generation that had a little bit of knowledge of it, that there's starting to be a revival starting to break out among a generation that said, you know, mom and dad didn't force me to come to church, but I'm wanting to come. There's something that's missing, and I got to find it. And sometimes they don't even know what they're searching for, but they're being drawn. God is drawing them by his Spirit. I believe we are living in the last days. And this revival that we're getting ready to experience is going to have a lot of young people. Because they're going to see the power and the miracles of God, and they're going to see that they can have a personal relationship with God. Faith will leave a legacy. It will leave a legacy. And that is important. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll finish with this. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy in the New Testament. In chapter 1, we see that faith going beyond our own life is so important. And the Apostle Paul is thanking God for Timothy's heritage. And actually, start in verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the offerings of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Hallelujah. So he's talking about Timothy there, but he connects the whole thing about not only was that faith passed down from your grandmother. That's why it's important that we foster the things of faith in our young people. Invest in youth camp. Invest in helping young people connect with God. Invest in children and in children's church and things of that nature. I'm believing God that he's going to fill this house with children once again. That he is going to fill this house with babies. We're going to see babies in a nursery in Jesus' name. That when God gives our building and in the right space at the right time, filling the house of God with people. I want to encourage you that you can invite people. This is the season to invite. And let's be people that leave a legacy of faith. That we leave a legacy of faith in everything that we do. That one person that you say that one thing to can make a difference. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And it can carry on from generation to generation to generation. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that it has the power to change us. The power to take our old life and give us a new one. To transform us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That God, that you want to not only just have us be religious, but God, you want us to have a relationship with you. A personal relationship. Father, I pray right now, God, that that faith that is in each one of us would grow and would touch generation after generation in the name of Jesus. Help us to live out strong faith like Abraham. To live it out, to trust you with the promises that you give us promises to live this life and to bring glory to your Son. I ask it now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, I want to give you an opportunity. I don't know everybody's personal situation. I don't know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you've been away from him. Maybe at one time you felt real close to God and now you kind of feel far away. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, it says this, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if that's you, I'd like to make sure that everybody has a moment of privacy. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but at the same time, I want to give an opportunity for you to receive Christ into your life, to start fresh and new on a journey of faith that will take you to great adventures in God. If that's you, you want to come to know Christ for the first time, you want to recommit your life to him, then I want to just ask you this. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I want you just to raise up your hand and just let me know that you're recommitting your life. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Perhaps you're watching online. Perhaps you're still in this space and you want to raise your hand that you feel like something's holding you back. Just raise your hand up to where I can see it and say, I want to pray with you. I want to start a new walk with God. I want a new life in Jesus. Is there anyone else? I'm just going to wait for a moment. Anyone else? Let's pray this simple prayer out loud together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins.